Good afternoon, everybody, or good evening. The title of the shiur is Limits of Inquiry. And before I begin the shiur, I'd like to explain that actually the title probably doesn't sit so well with me, doesn't sit so well with a lot of people, because as Jews we know there were a lot of asked questions, and we know that we're supposed to ask questions. As a matter of fact, I once read in Dr. Jonathan Sacks' book, one of his books, that one time he had a debate on TV with Stephen Hawking. And Stephen Hawking has been known to say that religion makes people stupid. Stephen Hawking does not believe in God. It makes people stupid. So Rabbi Sacks started off by going over statistics of how many Jews received the Nobel Prize, and it seems that the percentage of Jews who received the Nobel Prize is overwhelming compared to other races, other people, other nations. And Stephen Hawking responded and said, well, the Jews are different. And Rabbi Sacks said, he didn't explain why Jews are different. He said, you know why Jews are different? Jews are different for one very simple reason. Because if you think about it, you know, we the Jewish people have one night a year where we celebrate, commemorate our nationhood, when we became a nation, and that's Pesach night. And obviously it's about Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you would think that what would happen such a night, in a regular nation, the king would say, talk about me the whole time. And on Pesach night, it's devoted to asking questions. Whether the children ask questions, whether if the children are not there, someone else asking questions, a person asking himself. So we see the foundation of Yahdus, of Judaism, that first night, is all about questions. It's all about questions. Do we know? We're supposed to ask questions. However, this title definitely has a precedent. Because even though we are supposed to ask questions, we as Jews have to know, yes, that there are certain questions we're not supposed to ask, and there are certain times we're not supposed to ask questions. And as a matter of fact, my father, in his book on Parsha Shavua, I heard this from him. So before the Arba Parshios, the four Parshios that we read, the 4 weeks that we devote to special readings before Pesach, we begin with Parsha Shkolim, the reading about the Machzor Shekel, Parsha Zachar, remembering Amalek, what Amalek did to us, and then Parsha Par about the Parah Aduma, and Parsha Chodesh, which really deals with the laws of Pesach, but also about the fact that the rabbis would have the right and the ability, and they had the control of the Jewish calendar. Says we read before Pesach, and he explained what's the idea reading these four parshas before Pesach. He explained very simply, the Jews were about to experience freedom, and everyone has to ask what freedom means. Now, if you go ahead and you speak to a teenager who's about to leave teenagehood, they'll tell you, you know what it means to leave teenagehood? Now I have freedom to do whatever I want. And the truth is, I always tell them, they actually start to learn that you don't have the freedom to do what you want. So people are about to experience freedom, they think, now I can do whatever I want? So the first thing we learn about is Machzor Shekel, what you do with money. And we learn that you're not supposed to go ahead and think that now that I have money, I have the ability, I do whatever I want with money. How you use your money, how you spend your money, what you do with your money. And Zachar is about what Amalek did to us, about might and power. And the truth of the matter is that we have to learn, yes, sometimes we think we have the ability to decide how we should fight, when we fight, what we do. Torah tells us very clearly about Amalek, what we have to do, how we have to react. And Parsha Chodesh, we'll come to Parsha Parah in a minute. Parsha Chodesh is about time, how we control time, what we do with our time. And Parsha Parah, it's let us know there are some things that are beyond the realm of our understanding. There are certain things we have to know that we can't ask about, we won't know about, and we have to realize that before we become free. Okay? It's very nice. The truth is that not only is that an idea that hurt my father, but it's a precedent in Gemara, in Chazal, in the Mishnah. In source number one, Mishnah tells us that Maseches Chagiga, Daf Yud Aleph Mabet, Ein Dorshin Barayis Mishlosha. So you're not supposed to be Doresh when it comes to Arayis, forbidden unions, and I'll explain according to the Maskana of the Gemara. A Rebbe should not teach three people together, because maybe someone will get confused and make a mistake. Below my separation is Vishnayim, and he should not teach two boys in front of him, two students in front of him, and below the Merkava, the Yachid, and he should not teach to one person even, who's speaking about Merkava, how God runs the world, to an individual, unless this individual is somebody that if you give him a few points, he can understand things on his own. Elim Kain Hayachacha Meiv Midaito. And he says, then it says, Kolam Mistakel Barba Dvarim, anyone who steers, who really focuses on four things, the Gemara says, Ratui, and the Rambam explains that it means Royulo, Kilo Bala Olam. It's like, you should never come to the world. What shouldn't you ask? Malamala, Malamata. Very simply, I'll just explain. No one should ever ask what's above the heavens, because as the Rambam will explain soon, Malamata, what's below. There are other explanations of what this means. Malifnim, Malo'achar, what's before, what's afterwards. There are certain things that you're not supposed to ask. And the Rambam will explain in a few minutes why. The Chol Shelo Kosak Fod Kono, and anyone who does not have the respect, the proper honor for his Kono, which means literally, which crater, and Rama will clarify what that means, Ratulilo is better, he didn't come to the Olam, to the world. So before we explain this Mishnah, just see where the Gemara, Mishnah Chazal get this from. Where did the rabbis find the source that there are certain things you're not supposed to ask? After all, I thought as Jews, you can ask any question you want. And the Gemara says, Maseches Chagiga Dafid Alf Mabez, below my gracious Mishnayim, we know Hanimili, how do we know this? Source number two in Tanur Rabbanon, because the rabbis learned, the pasuk says, Ki sha'al no yomim rishonim, when you go ahead and ask to earlier days. So Yachid Shoel, one person can ask, he says, but my sabaracious, one person, Ki sha'al no, when you ask, the ancient nine sholem, two shouldn't ask, a rabbi should be talking to one student alone. Then he says, Yacho Yishal Adam Konish Nivar Lolam. Maybe a person can ask the question, but what happened before the world was created? And when I say the world before the world was created, so again, I'm not going to exactly clarify what that means. There was a Bria Sa'olam, as we know, and what the process was. Science has found certain things. But before Bria Sa'olam, we know that, according to Jewish Hashkafa, one of the Ikrei Emuna was that HaKadosh Baruch created the world, Yesh Me'ayin. And no one should ask the question, what was going on, God can go for nothing, what was going on before this Yesh Me'ayin? That's what the Mishnah says. Talmud Lomar, Lamin Hayom, Asher Baruch Lekim Ha'adam Al-Aretz. In other words, you want to ask from the time that God created a man on earth. Yachal lo yishal dal Yesh Me'ayin. Maybe a person can't ask a question about the 6 days of creation. Whatever that means, Tamalomar, Liyamin Rishon Rishamanecha, the early days are before you. So then you might think a person can ask what's above, what's below, what's behind, what's in front. Tamalomar, Ulamitse Hashemayim, Daakse Hashemayim, you can ask from one end of heavens to other, but don't ask what's beyond that. Okay? So the Gemara, the Mishnah is clear that there are certain things that we're not supposed to ask about. If you look at the Rambam in the Parash HaMishnah in source number 3, is very clear that what's the problem with asking. The Rambam says like this, Baratu ilo ki ilo bola olam. He says, why? Because Perusho, Shehedro me'anoshios, ve'yoso min mishar mine balichayim, tovelim atzias me'ashir yoso adam. The Rambam says that if someone goes ahead and starts asking these questions that he shouldn't, so the truth is he really is not part of humanity, and it's better if he consider part of the animal kingdom. Because he wants to know something that really is not within his ability. And not within his nature, the Rambam says. Kilo yidme malamala El Malamata, El Asech, El Asich Avnir, and Mitzvah has never figured out. He's making a mistake of what exactly reality is. Ukshiyirtsa Adam, Hamruka Mikomada, Lizbone, Gdela Das, and a person who is empty from all sciences, all knowledge actually, to understand, to know what's on heaven and what's underneath the ground, Vidimiono Hamnifsa, with his imagination, which is faulty, Shemedamo Song Kaliel Galibayas. He's going to think, well, disgusting what's on top of heaven by climbing the roof, climbing the roof of a house. It's very simple. He says, "V'chemai kodesh v'shemayim," and what was after, before the heavens were created, what will be after the shemayim is not around. Vaday, the Rambam says, "Shezei v'yehu lidei shigoyom v'shimamo." This will bring you to craziness and to desolation. The zvona v'itu nipla hazeh. And then the Rambam explains, what is the expression that someone who does this does not have any mercy, does not care about the honor of his creator? So this is how he explains the word kono. He says, Amr be'ezer lekei ba'amru kol shelo chas al kvod kono. The kavana b'zeh, his intention is, mi shelo chas al sichlo. He has someone who has no respect for his seichel, his logic, his mind. Because the logic that we have, our mind, is really the honor of God. Through our logic, we have honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The cave and she'eno yodeya erech hadavar, hazeh, he's alone. And since he doesn't know the value of the seichel, the logic he has, which leads him, and supposedly on the right path, and therefore, and he's going to start looking at other things and ask certain questions, and might lead him to the wrong path. Harehu mufkur b'dei tabosav. The Rambam says, because a person who starts asking certain questions, he will be sort of unguarded in the hands of his desires. V'nasik b'heima. They're very strong words. When a person starts asking the wrong questions, which he does not have the ability to answer, he'll become, the Rambam says, literally, like an animal. V'kach amru, mashalochas al kvod kvono, who, and also Chazal say, who is not, does not have respect for the honor of his creator. That's his seichel. One is supposed to guide him the right way. Zeh over aver v'seiser. Someone who commits a sin in private. For amru, and they said, the adulterers, they don't sin until a silly spirit comes into them. And this is the truth. Why? Because when a person has a desire, of any desire, so his logic, his seichel, his intellect is not complete. He says, and therefore he says, and why is this mentioned? Because since we mentioned above what's gufei Torah, what's really Torah, so the Torah is telling, the Mishnah is telling us what are the foundations of the Torah. And therefore, in order to make sure that we keep the foundations of the Torah, we're told that we're certain questions, with certain questions that we should not ask. So the Rambam says clearly that a person should not ask certain questions because we're afraid. The Rambam is afraid where all those questions lead a person, and why? Because the person does not have the ability to really answer and understand what the answer is, fully understand, and unfortunately it will lead him to a way we'll act in a way which is which sort of implies that of desolation, make him more animalistic, and it could just destroy the foundations of who he is and his own humanity. That's what the Rambam says in source number 3. Okay, so now, if you allow me for 1 second, I just want to skip a little bit, not skip, but do another source, and that's source number 11. The Rambam was very concerned about this, about the questions, what you should study. The Rambam, who wrote Moreh Nebuchadnezzar, was very concerned about this. If you look at source number 11, the Rambam, Hilchot of Avodah Zarah, Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel. The Rambam talks about not asking about Avodah Zarah, idolatry, and the Rambam says, and all about the Lavim of Avodah Zarah, the Chol Halavim, this is Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel, all the Losa says, the negative commandments, the Inyan Echadheim, are all with one goal in mind, the Hush Lo Yipneh, we have to make sure and ensure that no one goes after or is influenced by idolatry. The chol hanifna charehav de'erach shoseh ma'ase, anyone who goes after and does an action, hareis aloka, he gets malchus, he gets lashes. The lo abodus kachavim belvad who shoseh ma'asecharehav. The Rambam says not only is it forbidden to go ahead and to go after abodus kachavim, idolatry. The Rambam points out, any thought process that will cause a person to uproot, to uplift any of the foundations, the roots of the Torah, be very careful not to put it on our heart, and not to be distracted. L'chach, the nachshov and nimshach achiraleiv, and causes to go after the thoughts of our heart. Nay, why? She says, shedaitel she'olam k'sara, We're not, our minds are not fully developed, the Rambam says. But not all personalities can really understand the truth and its foundations. And if every person goes after what his heart says, his thoughts, and he starts thinking and asking, he can destroy the world. According to his incomplete mind, his intellect, Ketzad. So he goes on. Sometimes a person will go ahead and ask questions about idolatry. What's going on with idolatry? Upanim, and sometimes Yachshav Yichud HaBore. He'll start asking questions about unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shemahu. Maybe it is. Shema'eno. Maybe it's not. Umalamala, malamata, malifnim, malachar. The same questions as Mishnah asked. We ask certain questions. Upanim v'nevuah. Sometimes you'll ask questions about prophecy. Unfortunately, which is happening today. Shema yi emes, shema yi ena. People will say, maybe it's true, maybe it's not true. Prove it to me. Upanim v'torah. And sometimes people will go ahead and say, v'torah, shem yina shemayim. Shema eno, maybe it's heaven, maybe it's not from heaven. V'en yodei hamido shiyodim behen. And he won't know how to develop something until he comes to absolute truth, and through this he will come to heresy. And all these questions the Torah tells us, don't be swayed by your heart or by your eyes, which will cause you to go astray. He says, don't go after your incomplete mind, incomplete logic, intellect. The yidman thinks shemachshavosa masekas emes, that you actually understand the truth. He says, kach amru chachamim, achar levabchem zuminos, after your heart is heresy, acharekhem zuznus. He says, and even though, he says, this losasei, this negative commandment, can drive a person out of the world. So he says, he goes on, and he says, there's no malchus, there are no lashes. If we have a chance, we'll go back to the Sefer Mitzvot. So the Rambam is very clear. And a person should be very careful what he asks, what he delves into, and what he studies. So I want to spend probably the rest of the shir discussing one of the Ikrei Emuna. And that's the Yisod Hashmini. Yisod Hashmini, the Rambam wrote 13 Ikrei Emuna, 13 foundations of faith. And according to Rambam, if someone does not believe one of those foundations of faith, so then, in loose terms, he would be considered a heretic, not Bikoris, okay? And that includes, just look at the Animamin, leading Mashiach, the Messiah, Tchias HaMesim, resurrection of the dead, the idea of Scharva Onus, reward and punishment. These are all very important. And we know that after davening every day, in the sinner, there's the animam. However, to really see what the foundations of faith are, it's important to see the source, and that's the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnah of Masechet Sanhedrin. Now, before I begin to read the Rambam, I have to tell you. So the Yisod HaShmini is basically, say in a very short word, is that every word of the Torah, every word of the Torah is divine. Divine means it comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, from God. Okay? Now, I was raised, and I'll clarify this, by my father very severely, very strongly, and this is my belief, as is the belief of others, is that Torah Min HaShemayim means not just Min HaShemayim, but Min HaShemayim through Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, the Torah is divine, and Mosaic, everything was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, as we'll see. That would be the Rambam Shita. Now, there are those, as I'll mention, who maybe would say, the Rambam holds this from Moshe, but all you have to really believe is that the Torah is divine. Everyone agrees that according to the Rambam, by the way, and I think, let me step back for a second. Not just the Rambam, it's the Chazal. It's obviously, everyone believes that the Torah, everything is divine. All of Tanakh is divine. Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, no question about it. Everyone who has a hashkafa of what it means to be a Jew believes the Torah, Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim are divine, come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The question is, there is a machlokes in regard to, did Moshe write every single word or not? That is definitely something which people talk about. As I said, I believe Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Kadosh Baruch Hu what to write, and he wrote everything. That's the Rambam Shita. So let's look at the Rambam. So you look at source number 4. The Rambam says, "Vayesod Hashmini, Hu Torah Min HaShemayim." The eighth Yesod. The eighth foundation is that Torah comes from heaven. Every word of Torah comes from heaven. And you have to believe Shakol haTorah hazu hanimsas biyadenu, the whole Torah that's found in our hands, Hayom hazeh, today, haTorah shnitla Moshe, it is the Torah that's given to Moshe, v'shehikula piyagvura, and it all came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, it's interesting that the Rambam clearly states here that number one, the whole Torah that we have was given to Moshe, okay, and it's kula piyagvura. So because of that, my father and others probably Moshe Feinstein and others, you know, again, I didn't do that much research to see who, but except most people accept that the Rambam holds that part of the Mesorah of the Yisod HaShmini is that not only the Kampan Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it was all given to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Shehikul Biagbura. Klomar, Shehigila Kula Meis Hashem, it all came from Hashem. Hagosh Shekorom Oso, Aldera Hashela. We use a term to borrow a term, which because it's hard to describe in terms about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dibur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe, and since speaking is a human trait, the Rambam says that we borrow that term to describe how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, gave Moshe the Torah. The Ein, he says, Yodea, we don't know, Eichus Osa Hagoh, how it reached Moshe Rabbeinu, Elohu Olav HaSholem, Asher Yigi Elav, this all came to Moshe Rabbeinu, B'shuhu B'malos Lavlar, and he is in the level of a sofer, Shekor Lefanov, that they read before him, who coasted Kula, and he wrote it all, Tarichah, I guess the date, the Sibra, the stores, the seven mitzvos, Moshe Rabbeinu and everything. So if you look at the expression of the Rambam emphasizes over and over again, not only is it Torah Min HaShemayim, but Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who wrote it down. It, over and over and over again. However, there are those who want to say that Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, Zichrono Levracha, Rosh Yeshiva of Neir Yisrael Baltimore, so he wants to say that really the belief is that it came Min HaShemayim. And it happens, the Rambam also holds that Moshe wrote it down, but what's more important is that it's divine. As again, there are two ways to explain the Rambam. The way I understand is that it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu all to Moshe Rabbeinu. And we'll come back to that. Veshehuba, he says, the Rambam goes on. He says, Ve'ein Hevdel. And the Rambam says, there's no difference. Ubein Cham Chush V'Mitzrayim V'Duchanan, the Tukim and Parshas Noach that describe tens of Noach, V'Shem Ishto Matavel Vas Ma'amatra V'O Anochi Hashem V'Shema Yisrael Shalom Echad. Everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKol Mipi Yagvura, VaKol Torah Hashem Tamima, Tehorah Kedosha, MS, everything from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything is pure, everything is true. V'lo Nasa Menashe Etzlam Kofer, HaKofer Yosef, HaKol Kofer Acher. And why was Menashe, the son of Chizkiyahu, called the Kofer? Ela Lefisha Choshav Shiyesh V'Torah Tochu Klipa. Because the Rambam, Menashe thought, that they are part of the Torah, some of the Torah has something good, then there's a shell, it's a peel, it's not so good. V'sholu V'Sheila Tachrich, Tarichim V'Sipurim, and tell us them, and he says some of the dates, and the stories, there's no purpose to them. U'moshe Midai to Amram, and he says Moshe wrote it by himself. V'ze Inyan Ein Torah Min HaShemayim, and this is Ein Torah Min HaShemayim. If someone says Moshe wrote one thing by himself, that's called Ein Torah Min HaShemayim. Amar Shehu HaOmer Shakol Turok of Gersh Baruch Hu Chibas Echad. If someone says there's one pasuk that was not written by Moshe Rabbeinu, Shalom Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sorry, it's not written by except by Kadosh Baruch Hu, he says this is the Bar Hashem Visa. In other words, we have to believe every letter, every word that the Torah comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu and was given over to Moshe. Yisala Hashem Mimash Omrim HaKofrim Elokol Achas Osheba, every letter the Rambam says Yeshba Chochmos V'Niflaos, wisdom and wonders L'Misha Evinu Hashem, whoever understands it. Below Susak Tachlis Chochmasa Arucham Eretz Mida, it's impossible to really appreciate every letter, every word, everything. Meruchan Meyam, it's so wide, it's so vast. Ve'ein lo Adam lihisbalo el lispalv modavin Mashiach l'kiyako. And if you want to really understand a lot, says got a daven. Just learning is not enough. You got a daven. Kadosh Baruch Hu should help you because there's so much wisdom in the Torah. He says galon abidon lepos v'orsecha. V'kach Perishu Mekubal Gamli Be'agvura, and also Perishah, I'm sorry. The explanations. It's Mekubal from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the fact that we make a sukkah, and a lulav, and the esrog that we have. Ba'ashofer, Nitzitzis, Ba'atfilin, Buzulasam, that everything was showed to Moshe Rabbeinu, who rock mold, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the Shishliach. Everything, he says, everything comes from Moshe Rabbeinu, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, "B'teidun ki Hashem shalachani," and this is very important, to know that Hashem sent me, and this is Yesod Hashmini. Now, if you look at the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, where he again goes through, again he emphasizes Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam says in source number 5, "Shlosha hein hanikroi napikorsim." So he says there are three people who, well, I don't know if three people are called apikorsim, heretics. Someone who says there was no prophecy, he says, and someone who denies the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and someone says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not know what we do. So all of these three people are apikorsim. Then he goes on in the second line. Shlosha hein kofrim b'Torah. There are three people who are kofrim, are considered as they deny the validity of the Torah. Ha'omer shein Torah mi'Hashem afilo pasuk yachad afilo teva achas. Anyone who says that the Torah does not come from God, even one pasuk, afilo teva achas, even one word, im amar Moshe amar v'yachad. Someone says Moshe said it by himself. Harezeh kofrim b'Torah, denies the Torah. V'chein, and someone who denies the Torah shabalve. Okay, so that's the Rambam again. He speaks Moshe Rabbeinu, but the bottom line is that it's so important to go ahead, and to recognize that the Torah is divine. And you'll ask me, so why am I speaking about this now? Why did this all of a sudden come up? So I'll tell you why did it come up. So someone sent me a LinkedIn article last week about a certain website. All right. That has become very popular. I'm not going to say more than one website. And on the website, yes, there. I have to see it. And I went to look at the articles when I was speaking about it. And so much of this website, it is heresy. It denies the existence of God. And anybody who's trying to learn something should not go to this website. That's the bottom line. Not only that. I will say like this, and I want to speak to that for a second. I figured it out. I will say, unfortunately, Ruba of the people who are on the website, it's heresy. That's terrible. Okay? There are a few people on there who are Shlomi Amune Yisrael, who actually wrote articles that maybe I wouldn't agree with everything they say, but it's okay. And they're making a big mistake. Why? So I heard from my father many times, many, many times. He used to say, the Nikiyei Hadash of Yerushalayim, those who were the mature of Yerushalayim, whose intellect was very developed, before they would sit down to have lunch with somebody, they would find out who's going to be at the table. Be very, very careful, who you agree to sit with, because sometimes if you sit with a certain person, what's going to happen is you're going actually to maybe endorse, or it's sort of like you're complimenting, or in a certain sense, where you're saying they're okay, and therefore, especially when it comes to these things. Now, it's interesting, my father used a much stronger term, and I'm going to use a better term right now. He used a term, it was called like this, when he was discussing the idea, he was discussing about a person sitting on a conversion with some conservative rabbis. His term was that he says, he used the term, because it didn't follow lacha, he used the term kesher rishoyim einam min haminyan. If you're connected to people that are wicked, which don't keep the Torah, they're not counted in the minyan. And therefore, it's very important not to have a kesher with people who were involved at that moment in wickedness. And therefore, to write an article, and it could be they don't even know about it, to submit an article on a site which speaks heresy, that's an act of wickedness. Now, it's fascinating, by the way. Where does this concept come from, Kesher Rishayim? Where does it come from? So it's Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Vav. And the Gemara there is discussing about who can sit in the Bezdin, La'avar Shana, to go ahead and to decide they're going to have a leap year. And the Gemara uses, so as Russia can, Kesher Rishayim, Einam Min HaMinyan. So a knot of Rishayim, a group of Rishayim, can't be counted. So the Gemara asks on Daf Chav Vav Masechet Sanhedrin, what is this Kesher Rishayim? What's this about? So the Gemara says like this. Gemara asks, my Kesher Rishayim, what's this idea of Kesher Rishayim? So the Gemara says, Shivna,
So Shibna, who lived in the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, when he gave a shir, I guess, to what it sounds like 130,000 people. It was a big shir. I'm sure a lot bigger than the amount of people that are right now standing in Geula. Okay? 130,000 people. All right? Chizkiyah, so it sounds like Chizkiyah, it sounds like his shir was, he says, 110,000. What? He says, okay. So he says, so what happened? So at the time when Sanherib lay siege to Yerushalayim, and they were trying to scare, the people in Yerushalayim, and they were sending notes to, you know, that you have to, he says, they were saying notes, you should make peace, right? So then, so Shibna sent a note to Sanherib. He says, I want to make peace with you, and Chizkiyahu doesn't want to make peace with you. Shinemar, and what happened? So he says, Chizkiyahu was very afraid. Why? Because he says, look, Shibna gets more people, he's a better shear. Maybe he gives a bigger chiddush. Maybe that means that he's right. And Kadosh Baruch Hu said, don't pay attention to numbers. Don't pay attention to numbers. You know what's correct and what's right. Don't pay attention to numbers. So yeah, you know, so the truth is, actually, I have to tell you, you know, sometimes when you see a chiddush and you say, well, didn't come from Kadosh Baruch Hu, you can make a great chiddush in the Torah, right? And it sounds cool. I was sitting with somebody, someone who's a Maimon, and he was telling me an idea he heard from his Rebbe, who's a Maimon also, and there was no problem b'hashkafa on the idea, and I don't want to get into the idea, but the bottom line is that, as everyone else at the table said, we thought that it was wrong, okay? But it was cool because it was such a chiddush, right? So you want to go ahead and people want to hear chiddushim. But Keshem Rishayim ain't a min minyan, right? And you have to be very, very careful not to go ahead and in a certain sense be sucked in and say, wow, this is great. No, if something is, someone says Torah, Nevi'im are not divine, we have a very serious problem. Now, certainly, the Chamish, if someone says Torah, Nevi'im are not divine, we have a serious problem. So if we go ahead and we look at the so where do they bring riots from, proofs from? That's what I'm talking about. Where does it come from? So, you know, after I saw this website, so I went to, my father gave a shir, I think, in 1966. Maybe some of you were there, okay? 1966, it's on Parshas Kedoshim. You can actually find the shir on YU Torah. It's worth listening to. It's actually a very good recording. So I listened to it a second time. And at that time, there was a letter in the commentator. There was a professor referred to as Professor X in Philadelphia University, who said that they should introduce Bible criticism to Yeshiva University. All right, my father gave a shir for an hour and a half. So after reading this, well, let's talk about, I need to mechazik myself, and I went ahead and I listened to the shir again. My father at that point said like this, and this is very important. He said that everyone claims that who is the father of Bible criticism? He said that it was Spinoza. And then from Spinoza, it went to the Germans. And the Germans did it to destroy the Torah. And from there, my father felt it was to destroy the Jewish people. Okay, so I want to go a step further. And I say, if Germans went ahead and they took Bible criticism as our Jewish people, unfortunately, there are Jews today that are following in their footsteps for a certain reason, which I'll come to a little bit later. Now, people claim, so who was the ancestor? Who came before Spinoza? So they bring certain riots. Okay, let's look at some of the riots and just to, two ways how to deal with it. So first of all, in Parshas Vayera, last week's Parsha, so after Avram Avinu was dealing with the Malachim, it says, Va'Avram Odena Omeid Lifnei Hashem. Avram was standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, so what does it mean Avram was standing? He says, what does it mean that Avram was still standing? V'alo lo halach lam lefanav. Avram didn't go to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blatzlo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Avram. And he said, Zakaston v'amor ki rabba. So Susa says, V'hoylo lichdo. Vashem Odeno Omer Lifnei Avraham. It should have said that Hashem was standing before Hashem was standing before Avram Avinu. He says, and not that Adam was standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. El Tikkun Sofer Huzeh. What does this mean? This is a Tikkun Sofer. What does Tikkun Sofer mean? So, one opinion is Tikkun Sofer means, we'll come to that. One opinion is Tikkun Sofer, yeah, Ezra Sofer, he went and he changed it. Why? Out of respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one opinion. And then, if you go ahead and is another Lashon, source number 7. He says, well, we'll come back to that. So if you look at source number 8, it says, Hachamim says like this. Ein ha-kavana chalila shosifu o shosiru masha kasu b'Torah. God forbid that we should suggest that they added, they took out one letter in the Torah, afilo sachas chalila. Elo what? Inyan tikun sofrim hu. What happened was they were looking at the tzuvim, they were trying to understand what's going on, and what they said is when they said tikkun sofer, the Sefer Chacham says, and this is the Rosh Peshitta, that Adam was standing before God. It doesn't mean Adam was standing there; HaKadosh Baruch Hu was standing there. But the Torah wrote in such a way out of kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says Sha'ikar kavana lo kais moshnir. All the Chazal were saying is that the pasuk does not mean what it says. He says, but there's a kavana acharis. And really, what the pasuk should have said was, "Avram Adenu Omen." Avram was standing. He says. It shouldn't have said, "Avram was standing." Hashem Baruch was standing. But the kusuf went ahead and changed it. And that's how the Rashba explains Lashna Rashba. And if you look at source number seven is the Mechilta. And the Mechilta uses that lashon, that expression, that the pasuk is the one that did this. The pasuk says, so in Zechariah Perek Beis, the Torah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, people who go ahead and start with Am Yisrael, start with the Jewish people, so the pasuk basically says, Hanogeya Bachem is Nogeya, he says, Bevas, So what's going on? The Vas Einais, he says, saying is that it should have said the Vas Eino. Vas Eino, in other words, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. But they didn't want to speak in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, so it changed the Lashon. But what does change the Lashon mean? It doesn't mean someone else later changed it, Chachamim changed it. Shekina Kosev, the Pasuk went ahead and changed it. When they wrote the Pasuk, it was changed originally. Why? In order to speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a certain way. So the Sifrei Chachamim points out that this is the way, this is the Pesukim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to write it. This is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to write it. And we'll see, actually, if you look at the Mincha Shai, there's a very long Mincha Shai on source number 9 from Zechariah. And he quotes the resources, and the Mincha Shai says that Teir's Tikkun Sofrim says, so what does Tikkun Sofrim mean? So the Mincha Shai starts off, source number 9, I'll sort of paraphrase, but he says at the very beginning, the Ashen at Tes Nagdola, Tiknu, they enacted the Shinu Habibur, and they changed it, Mimah Shohaya. And by the way, there were many members of Ashen at Nagdola that had Nevuah and they had Ruach HaKodesh. But he says, and that's what it seems, he says, from the Medrash, and then he goes ahead and he quotes the Aruch. The Aruch seems to say that also, that Ashrei Yisrael changed one letter or two letters, and he says, he quotes the Medrash Rabbah, he goes through, he says, if you look at the 1, 2, 3, the fifth line, he says, the ain payers and nachem ba'inai. I don't like this pshat. He says, ba'inim aforshim, in the eyes of the aforshim. Ki chalila lanu lahamin, God forbid to believe, the Mincha Shai was a baki on Tanakh, a mikra, that the sofrim added or took away anything, even one letter. He says, bottom line is, I wouldn't call it tikkun sofrim, he says, it's tikkun ksila mikra. Okay? And it's God forbid that the descendants of Avram would do this. He says, and he quotes the Baal Ikarim, who says that no person in the world ever, he says, would ever, you know, would go ahead and would forge a sefer and say, I forged it. I give an example. Let's say, for example, I didn't like something my father said in his sefer. Okay? By the way, it's done today, right? So I would go ahead and I would cross it out and write something else. All right? Write something else. So, that would I tell people I did that? doesn't make sense, because if I do that, what does that mean? That means that no one's going to listen to me. No one's going to listen to me. So he says, no one does that. So he says, so what's the parish? It doesn't make sense. The parish is like this, like the Rashba says. That he says, the Sofrim went ahead. Chachamim and the Sofrim, we'll talk about in a second, who are the Sofrim. They were medaktik, they learned, they studied, they analyzed, and they said, what is the kavana intention of every pasuk? And even if one pasuk implies one thing, they explain sometimes what the kavana is, and they said, by the way, in this pasuk, we think what the kavana is. And the pasuk, for whatever reason, decided to change its lashon a little bit from what the real interpretation is. And he quotes, this is the Peshat of the Mizrahi and the Beit Tohar, and this is what the Bali, he quotes the Bali Karim, and he says, and this is what the Medrash Lamdaini says. He says, what does it say? It says, Kino HaKosuf. This is the idea. And he says, it's fascinating. He says, you know, the Gemara in Maseches Kedushin says that why were the rabbis called Sofrim? Because they counted every letter in the Torah. And it came to the point where they said they weren't even sure about if they're above, whether there's above, because they wouldn't add letters, but they counted. And they were dorish certain letters. And because of that reason, they had the right to explain the Torah because they knew or understood every letter, but they never went ahead and added and took away from any letter. He says, so the Mincha Shai takes the approach of the Rashba. This is the way it was written down. All the Chum did is they went ahead and they would explain what the pasuk means. Now, just to one more point, and that's Ibn Ezra. All right. So another one they claim is the Ibn Ezra. Okay, why the Ibn Ezra? So the Ibn Ezra in Parshas Lech Lecha. Okay, so when Avraham Avinu came to Eretz Yisrael, this is not on the page. So when Avraham Avinu came to Eretz Yisrael, so it says Vaknani Oz Ba'aretz. All right. So says Yitochein She Eretz Kin. What does it mean? What do you mean? They were still in the land. They were then in the land. What does that mean? So he says. So it could be. The Medrash says the first shot is maybe Canaan grabbed the land from somebody else. The Ainenu Ken is not what it is. It says Yeshul Sod. There's a Sod, a secret. Vamaskil Yudom, and he says someone who understands the secret should be very quiet. Okay, so what is so in Sefer Devarim, the Ibn Ezra quoted in the footnotes in Sefer Devarim, he's called the Sod Shnei Masar. All right, so he brings 12 places in the Torah. So he says that it seems to be. That it seems like maybe one part was written later. But he says, first of all, he says, Yidom. We'll talk about Yidom. Second of all, before we jump to conclusions, and this is something very important, even if Rashi says Tikkun Sofer, and it means what some people think it means, and even if Ibn Ezra says there's one pasuk, there's one letter here, the problem is, they talk about one letter, which I'll talk about, and from there, all of a sudden, people take it, and they say, all books were not written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They say, chapters weren't written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like, if you look at Ibn Ezra, and you look at Rashi, if it is true, and I'll read you Ibn Ezra in a minute, if you read it, if it is true, they take one pasuk here, one pasuk there, and they agree that it's all divine, everything's divine, but it's one pasuk, and all of a sudden today, people are based on that are saying, Yeshua and Shoftim, there's a certain person in America who I think basically said that everything until Shmuel is not divine. So someone defended him and said, oh, he doesn't believe it. He's just doing it to the Makara people. Could you imagine? They're saying that the books of the Torah are not divine because he wants the Makara people. I heard he had said from my mother. She said to me, you can't build people, but destroy build Torah, but destroy the Torah. Can you imagine? But one two psukim. Now listen to this, Ibn Ezra. This on the source sheet. So the Ibn Ezra, the source number 13, Paragam Avav Pasuk Yud Lamed Aleph. When it talks about the Malachim that ruled before the Melech the Yisrael, so he says like this. So what does it mean? He said, how did Moshe Rabbeinu know this? So Ibn Ezra says clearly, Yesha Omrim Ki B'Derech Nevuah Nichbad Osa Parsha. The first shot is. Moshe Rabbeinu knew this, B'derech Nevuah, he was a prophet. Okay, that's clear. Then he quotes like this. V'Yitzchaki Amar B'Sifro. Some fellow called Yitzchaki. Says in the Sefer, Ki Bimei Yehoshaphat Nichtav Ados HaParsha. This Parsha was written b'mei Yoshafat. Upirish Hadoras Kiritsono, and because he was able to say it was written in Yoshafat, he explained the Dor generations of the kings like he wanted to. Hachi Kara Shemo Yitzchak. You know why it's called Yitzchak? Because Kol Hashomei Rez Yitzchak, La Merchant laughed at him. What a ridiculous shot. Ki Omar, ki, and he goes on, ki Adar, what he explains who it could be, and he says it's ridiculous. The Chalila Shadavar, Kimoshi Diva De Yitzchak, the Sipper Royally Sarai. He says, Chalila, if you say such a thing, God forbid, and his book should be burned, Ibn Ezra says. So obviously, any of these ideas, we see Ibn Ezra certainly is clear. We don't go ahead and we don't take this approach. So, just to conclude, where we're headed. So the Rambam, though, as I said, the Rambam was very clear that everything is divine, the Torah is divine, and he emphasizes over and over again that it came through Moshe Rabbeinu, every single pasuk. So, as I said, I think most people accept the Rambam, my father included, that according to the Rambam, that's part of the foundation, one of the Ikri Emunah, foundations of belief. Rabbi Yochanan Weinberg says, maybe not, but still it's divine. So either or, why does the Rambam emphasize that? So if you look at source number 10, source number 10 talks about the last eight psukim in the Torah. The last eight psukim in the Torah, there's a question amongst Chazal. Was it written by Moshe Rabbeinu? Because it talks about Vayomersha Moshe, Moshe died, and how can Moshe write something if he died? So one shita says Moshe wrote it, he was told by God, he wrote it while he was crying. Another shita says, no, Yeshua wrote it. Okay, you know, it definitely was close enough, alright? But in other words, so if it wasn't Moshe, it was Yeshua. And he says, how could you say Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it if he died already? It sounds like sort of makes the Torah look a little false, and therefore, another opinion I have to say, was written by Yeshua. The Rambam, he takes a clear approach, source number 10, Shimon of Sukkim Shabbosofa Torah, Mutter Likrososom Vesaknesis, he says, Allah is the last day of Sukkim the Torah, he says, you're allowed to read about a minion. Alright, it was Simchas Torah, we discuss it now. Even though, Apophish, our Kol Torah, it's all Torah, Umoshe Diagvura Amram, and Moshe wrote it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since it's implied it happened after Moshe, we make a distinction, and therefore, you can read it, he says, with less than 10 people. Okay, so the Rambam we saw over and over and over again emphasizes that every pasuk together comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. And why is that? I think the reason is very clear. The Rambam was very afraid. If a person would start to go ahead and start to question whether Moshe wrote everything, what would be the next step? And we see that's exactly what happened. There you see. Yes, someone who is Shlomo Emunah Yisrael writes an article and says, it's okay to believe someone else wrote part of the Torah, as long as you know it's divine. And the next step, there are articles about, well, what happened to Sefer Devarim? Why is it called Torah Moshe? Probably because they found it in the days of Chulda, and they wanted, I don't want to say what they said. So that's the next step. And the question is, and why did they do that? Very simple. So when I went to the website, so I pushed one tab that said, faith, where they discussed about Torah Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then there was another tab that said morality. Because once you go ahead and you say it's not all from Moshe, and it's not all divine, then it's the next step. It's very simple to go ahead and to allow everything that the Torah holds sacred, everything that's usher, to now become mutter. In other words, the whole reason for this today, why Jews are latching onto this, is because we feel guilty. So if we can go ahead and we can go ahead and we can say, well, you know, it's not divine. Someone had this idea, what he thought was morally and ethical back in those days. So you can change it. But if you hold it, it's divine. You can't change anything. And the first step, Rambam says, is number one, know it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it comes from Moshe. Because if you, God forbid, he feels, start questioning that, who knows what the next step is going to be. I have to tell you that if you look, and this number 14 is the one, and that's the Rambam sheet. The Rambam says in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. The Rambam says in the Perush HaMishnah, be very careful what questions you ask. If you look at source number 12 of Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam says, Mitzvos Losa Se Mem Zayin, the Rambam points out Don't go after our hearts until we believe ideas that are against the ideas of the Torah. He said, because of the that our minds, our intellect is not as bleeding as it should be, right? He says, it's going to cause us to go astray. He says, we do very, very careful. The Rambam was a person that who understood, and he was able to delve into it. I think the Rambam says, you know, Aristotle believed the world was not created Geshem Yayin. Okay? And the Rambam sort of parted the ways of Aristotle on that. And the Rambam said, actually, I believe, and he says, that if it could be proven, okay, science has proven otherwise, it could be proven that the world is eternal also, the Rambam says, I explained the Torah that way also, because the Rambam's belief was so straight and so pure and so complete. So now, again, with the fact that they discovered evidence of a Big Bang, which of course happened through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, science had at that time begun to realize that the world was created Yesh Me'ayin, was created for nothing, Baruch Hashem. But most people have to be very careful what they ask. And the Rambam says, if we start, even the Rambam says, if we start to question, did Moshe write everything? Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu told something else. Maybe the last day shook him. The Rambam says we're afraid what he spoke about in the Perush HaMishnah, what he spoke about in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, what he spoke about in Sefer HaMitzvot is going to happen. And that's why the Rambam was so clear. And, you know, so in that shiur in 66, I think it was 66, my father gave. So he says, my father quoted the famous Brisa, source number 50, number 14. He says, Nishmarta, the Mesechta Avodah Zarah, the Chof Mebeis, the Brisa that is the basis for Mesilas Yesharim. Nishmarta Mikol Davara, Shlo Yahar Adam Biyom, a person should not have thoughts at night, which will cause him to become impure, and I'm sorry, thoughts in the daytime, which will cause him to be impure at night. Mikaram Pichas Ben Yair, Torah, learning Torah, Mevila De Zahirus, brings you to Zahirus, and Zahirus brings you to Zrizus, and we know, Ruach HaKodesh and Kedusha. So, my father says, what's the first step? The first step is Zahirus. And my father said at that point, he said to himself, I'm only holding in Zahirus. So if my father's holding by Zahirus, I'm by the doorstep, as Zahirus have to say. But what does Zahirus mean? Zahirus means a concern. And actually, maybe even be a little anxious to make sure you do every mitzvah and keep every word in the Torah. That's Zahirus. Then you can talk about Zerizus. Says, you want to go anywhere? It's very important that you have Zahirus. That's the first thing. What's the mitzvah? What do I have to do? That's the most important question that you have to realize. So, and a lot of these questions bring people away from Zahirus, and that's why I have to be very careful. So I want to finish off with a Medrash Rabbah. Again, from last week's parasha, Amar Rav Acha. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu to bring Yitzchak for Nakeva, to sacrifice Yitzchak as a korban. And we know Avraham Avinu listens, he goes there, and then finally the Malach comes and stops him. So the Medrash tells us, source number 15, Bereishis Rabbah, Avraham asks the question. He says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I don't understand. It's laughable. It's not serious. Ein hadvar malal dvar shel tema. These are all questions. Esmal, yesterday you told me, kivis v'pro lazara, that your descendants will come from Yitzchak. Chazarta, then you said to me, kachno as binchas, take your son. And now you tell me not to touch him? I don't understand. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham, I never meant for you to sacrifice Yitzchak. I wanted to see your love, show you love. So he says, Rav Chaim Brisker asked the question. The question is, when would have been the right time for Avraham Avinu to ask this question? When? He says, it's all over. If I was Avraham, I would have jumped on, you know, on the quickest donkey, you know, and run home. It's okay, you know what I'm saying? Avraham Avinu asked the question now, if it's all over. Avraham Avinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham, Kachno es bincha, take your son. Avraham should have said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, God, why? I don't understand. You told me, Kivis Chakro Zero, why do you want me to kill my stepmother and my son? And Rav Chaim Brisker said that Avraham Avinu was afraid if he would ask questions where it would take him. Sometimes, Shlomei Emuna Yisrael, those who believe know, that there are questions we can't ask, And you should know there are questions we can't ask, and there are times that we can't go ahead and ask. There are times we can't ask questions. And even talks about our historical destiny in regard to this also. And I think that we're allowed to ask a lot of questions. We're allowed to learn and study. But there's certain things that are untouchable. And I would just say, that again, coming back, that when we start questioning the authenticity of the Torah, and according to the Rambam, assuming that it doesn't come from Moshe Rabbeinu, and I would say, by the way, I would say, yes, that for generations, I said a minute. What do you mean the minute, the custom? The custom is that most people who are involved in Torah, real Torah, in order to have Zahiris, in order to keep Torah, did not stray from the Rambam. And they assumed that all the Chamisha Torah, most people, came from Moshe Rabbeinu. You can explain here and there. But if you see where it leads, you understand how important it is to believe that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything is from Moshe Rabbeinu, and that will lead a person to Zahirus, to be careful about every single mitzvah. And that's when you say, limits of inquiry, a lot of questions are good. But be very careful that we don't touch any of the Ikar Emuna. And right now what's at stake is the Ikar Hashmini, the Yesod Hashmini, to always keep in mind. And there's so much wealth in the Torah, but always keep in mind, as the Rambam says, it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and yes, I believe, through Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah.